You got breaking news. Iran's sleeper cells hit Europe and the UK.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome to Seculo. It's Wednesday. We have phone lines open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Will's joining me in studio. Mike Pompeo and Rick Grinnell will be joining us in the back half of the broadcast. And we want you to begin, be a part of it as well at 1-800-684-3110. One of the updates today has been about the sleeper cell situation that has been breaking out amongst Europe. And of course, in the United Kingdom, we know this is happening. There were arrests made actually overnight in the ambulance fires, the ambulance bombings, if you will, that took place in a Jewish neighborhood in London, and a Jewish charity that was taken out, again, clearly targeted. At the time, we knew that some Iranian-backed groups were taking responsibility. We also know now is that these almost shadow foe groups are being created to kind of keep people off the scent, if you will. And that is what is happening right now. They're almost bogus terrorist organizations that are all probably being funded and supported by the same people, but can operate a little differently. And there can be some light, some distance between the IRGC and these Iranian terrorist groups that are being, again, clearly activated right now.
That's right. So what we're hearing, this is out of intelligence sources that told the Wall Street Journal. We also have reports that elaborate on this in CBS News. But this group called the Islamic Movement of the Righteous Companions has been taking credit for not just the London attack, right, but many across Europe. We're talking about multiple in Belgium, in the Netherlands. These Germany. Are places that aren't really making the news a ton because of all of the war news that's going on. But this group, this same Islamic Movement of the Righteous Companions, has been taking credit for these attacks. What's unique about this group is that, according to intelligence services in Europe, they'd never heard of this group. It wasn't even a thing until about a month ago. So it's coinciding with the war on Iran. What the prevailing theory is, and what they have also been able to trace back, is that these groups are using this front name, almost a shell terrorist organization name, to obfuscate the links to the IRGC. This is a Iranian exportation of terror into Europe as a direct response to the conflict. As we have been talking about, it is playing out, but they aren't taking credit for it directly. They are trying to hide the fact that it is them using another weapon of war, this terror campaign. And CBS News has reporting that we'll get into later that they have people ready to move in Europe beyond what's already happened, as well as potentially the United States.
Yeah, and obviously even this direct contact between Iran and Europe is much closer. There's a lot more, a lot less land to fill, a lot less ocean to cover in terms to coming to America. But we do know that these potential sleeper cells exist within our country. I think it would be dumb of us to think that somehow we are fully safe just due to our pretty massive border that we have. Now, that being said, of course, we have great security. People are being more watchful. But again, as Will said, there have been a lot more attacks, specifically on Jewish sites throughout Europe, way more than we're hearing about here in the United States. This is in Germany. This is in Belgium. This is throughout Europe in general. Places are happening. A group, again, Molotov cocktails thrown at a synagogue 2 weeks ago. March 22nd. A foiled attack on a synagogue in
the Netherlands.
This is happening what seemingly is like daily at this point throughout Europe and the UK. How are we going to respond? I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Of course, we are now halfway through our Stop the Madness week. We made it to Wednesday, folks. Congratulations. But I need your support. Go to ACLJ.org. Have your donations doubled today. Again, at ACLJ.org, all your donations tax deductible and doubled throughout the week. Seculo. Phone lines are open for you. I do want to hear from you today. Give me a call. As we know, these attacks are happening now, specifically targeted at the Jewish communities throughout Europe, throughout the UK, and of course we know here in the United States as well. And again, not Israeli embassies, not Israelis, not the Israeli government. Where is it going after? Synagogues, Jewish charities, day schools. We saw what happened in Canada. All of these things are happening continually throughout the Western world now, specifically targeting, again, the Jewish community, not direct tied, organizations within the Israeli government. So when people start spinning that it is not a push against the Jewish community, when you hear this sort of anti-Israel rhetoric, look at where the targets end up. When Iran decides to respond, a sleeper cell is awoken. Where are they sent? They are sent to destroy a Jewish charity, to target a synagogue, to try to cause mass destruction at a Jewish day school or at an Orthodox school or anywhere. This is happening. And now we know it's happening more and more, and we know that it's coming from these shell organizations. And that's part of that's very interesting here. When there is breaking news, what it looks like, what does a sleeper cell look like? I think that's something that people have questions about. Well, now we're kind of getting a peek behind the curtain, which is an organization that did not exist up until 4 weeks ago. What also didn't exist until 4 weeks ago? The war in Iran. So 4 weeks ago, it seems, an organization with a very long name was created to radicalize people, get people involved in terrorist activity. But we know that in general, this is all coming from the same source. And again, it's happening in a way, and we know this because there are some arrests being made. There is arrests made in London overnight. Two people have been arrested so far on those ambulance bombings. But what we're also learning is because of how regular this is now throughout the Western world, it's not breaking into our news cycle unless it's happening aggressively within our own country. But as we know, the creep that can come in from Europe, the creep that can come in from the United Nations country, from the EU, from the UK, makes its way to America a lot easier than it once did. And we have seen that time and time again, and it's only gotten worse over the last 4 weeks.
Well, and once again, when we were talking about this group, that it's the English translation, it's much more difficult to pronounce in...
I'm going to make you do it.
Right. Okay. Harakat al-Shabaab al-Yamin al-Islamiyah, which translates to Islamic Movement of the Righteous Companions. You know, I've helped out with some audiobooks around here that contain very difficult to pronounce names like...
You should maybe clarify.
Well, around the... We talk about the Jerusalem book that your dad put out, the...
Books on our side.
Oh, yeah. Positive for us to put out. However, calling out
we know what you're
Sharia
saying.
And the bad guys. Okay. But I've had to read a lot of these names before. Yeah. Anyhow, this translates to the Islamic Movement of the Righteous Companions. That's the English kind of translation. What we know about this group is that it wasn't even an online presence. The first Telegram chats that these intelligence agencies were discovering were March 9th, and the Operation Epic Fury began on February 28th. It tracks directly after the action of the United States and Israel. This group pops up, and why they also believe that this has direct ties to the Iranians. One, because they're seeing the messages, the recruiting, they're understanding how this works. But you also see that how quickly, from March 9th, they are able to actually carry out attacks. It isn't as if they're like, okay, let's create a new group, let's radicalize some people within a few days, and then go bomb places. No, they are able to do this because this is the network that Tehran has been putting around the world for years. We know that individuals on terror watch list have crossed our southern border. The DHS, is their own number says more than 300 under the Biden years. That's how they set up these networks. And when you talk about a sleeper cell, they are not going forward and saying, we are Iranians. We are the ones that are doing this under the direction of the IRGC. No, they use a new name for a fictitious group to give Iran that plausible deniability, that layer of separation, so that also in negotiations that the president says are ongoing, they can't say, no, that's not us. We're not doing terror on civilian targets.
And they are largely targeting themselves, young teenagers, young adults who can be easily manipulated, can be easily radicalized, and I don't mean to paint that, you know, easy, but, you know, a lot softer of a target, if you will, for radicalization. And when you have vulnerable younger men who are looking for something and they get connected on Telegram, and I think that's something we have to also realize. We live in a modern world here. When you think of sleeper cells, you may think of some, you know, deep espionage happening.
Right.
They're operating a lot more open than you'd expect, because the first time some of these were brought to the attention were just days before an attack, including a Iranian Telegram channel that called for sleeper cells to activate. You know, that's a quote.
And once again, when you're seeing the messaging here, some of the channels that aren't related to this group were directly describing some of the attacks days before they carried out. The links are all there. It's almost a foregone conclusion. We know where this is originating. We know where it's being directed out of. And honestly, that is one of the more dangerous layers to the next phase of the ongoing conflict. As long as there are IRGC officials and commanders in place, even if they aren't the top of the top, they are going to continue to try and do what they've always done. Hamas is a proxy of Iran. They coordinated October 7th. Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Houthis, as well as countless other groups that may have a stronger foothold and people who pledge their allegiance to them than some of these other groups. But this whole model, we did a film called The Export years ago, that was about Iran exporting terror. We made that movie about what exactly Iran does in their playbook.
Yeah, but we're seeing the fruits of that labor right now. And of course, it's coming from interesting places. Where would it be coming out of? I don't know. Germany, where Iran has somehow a stranglehold on people there, where you're seeing this happen there. And look, Germany, over the last 100 years or so, 80 years, have been pretty hardcore fighters of anti-Semitism, because obviously they had a lot to recover
from. Yeah.
And they don't take that very lightly. You can't walk around in Germany with a swastika. You can't walk around with an SS symbol. You can't have Nazi protests in Germany. But somehow we've returned once again to it being one of the hotbeds that is leading to anti-Semitism being spread throughout Europe. But it's being spread throughout Europe in a different way, not through traditional Europeans, through Germany, through what you think of when you think of German anti-Semitism. We are talking about a lot of it coming through, again, these Islamic extremism that has kind of crept its way through Europe.
Here's what's also fascinating, but also a warning, is that the group in their public messaging has encouraged people in the European Union to distance themselves immediately from all American and Zionist interests and everything connected to them. So basically saying, even if it's a synagogue, a church, anything that they see as connected to American or Zionist, that's their words, interest, stay away. Those are their targets. But also, it mentions CBS in their reporting, talks about specifically that they are, in their posts, repeatedly referencing Christian and Jewish philosophy to justify the group's actions. Now, once again, this goes back to what we've been talking about for weeks here, that the ideology that is demonic, that comes out of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the leadership there, their mortal enemies are the West. Their mortal enemies are Christians. Their mortal enemies are Jews. They will not rest until they have ushered in their utopian apocalyptic world where they have wiped out all Christians and Jews and made everyone their version of Shia Islam. That is what the Iranian Ayatollahs and Mullahs believe. So when you have these groups that are saying we're targeting Christians and Jews, take them at their word, because they believe that they are commanded to do it in order to fulfill prophecy. I say it all the time, it is an apocalyptic, genocidal death cult. And they are exporting that to the EU and to America. Don't be afraid, but be vigilant.
That should be the name of the sub-terror group. they have right now.
Genocidal apocalyptic death cult.
I mean, it sounds very similar to that already.
Right.
But that's just, I mean, Will is right. That is where we're at right now. Look, if you're watching online, I want you to be part of this with us right now. A lot of you are just joining us right now. Phone lines are open. 1-800-684-3110. I know you may not be used to calling in. You know, we do this a little bit differently, a little old school. We take your calls and comments. We're going to take your calls. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to be joined a little bit later by Mike Pompeo and Rick Grinnell. Two great voices. They can give you really the inside information of what it's like to be in these situations. When you're talking about Iran, there's not really a better person, honestly, to talk to who's been there and experienced it, like Mike Pompeo. We're talking about Germany, what's going on in Europe. Not a better person you could talk to than the former ambassador to Germany, Rick Grinnell. So stay tuned. It is Stop the Madness Week. Couldn't be more appropriate time. We get back, we're talking about the work of the ACLJ. Also, be right back. Phone lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. We got half the line still open. And look, we got some special content that I brought just for you today that our team put together. It's Stop the Madness Week. We're also going to showcase the work of the ACLJ here in very unique ways. Of course, tying into March and the madness that happens in March. And of course, there cannot be a more appropriate time than this week, as we have seen this madness, sometimes resulting in violence, creep its way throughout the country, throughout the world. And of course, the ACLJ has been involved in these issues from the local street preacher all the way to what's going on in Israel, what was going on in Iran. We have been involved in all of these topics, folks, for decades. And without you, that doesn't happen. So I always want to make sure we showcase our work. It's like what they tell your kids now when they got to do math. Show your work.
That's not just now. They've always said show your
work. No. Now you got to show all of those steps.
Yep, this is called math
class. No, this was that Jeb Bush math that they've added in. Remember? Common core math. It's all different now.
I think maybe you weren't in the best math class.
I think you were in Florida.
I was in great math.
They were doing that early there. We didn't do common core. Okay, beyond that. I want to see some people in the chat. You know what I'm talking about. You've had to do homework with your kids and realize your math is different than their math. All right. That being said, the math that maths is when you support the work of the ACLJ and your donation is doubled throughout this month. But really during this week, stop the madness right now. Phone lines are open for you, and I'm going to play you a very special video presentation, some of the work of the ACLJ. I'm going to kick it over to Will because we're going to talk about the state of Georgia and some of the work the ACLJ has been doing there. Again, on the individual basis all the way up.
That's right. And once again, this is a case that we talked about. We actually had a victory in, but we will be proceeding with legal action because of the violation of rights that we have seen out of Georgia here. This involves a minister who expresses his pro-life views and actually went through the process to get a permit to do this. And in this city in Georgia, if you get a permit, they have a little clause that some like to call a heckler's veto. It says you can get the permit and you can do your demonstration, but if anyone complains, it's invalidated. And then he got criminally charged because someone decided to complain. That's not really how the Constitution and the First Amendment works. And so what did we do? We first got a victory, got the charges gone. But now we have to take action because that can't stand. And so we have a little video presentation about this because it is, once again, as we talk about Stop the Madness, and you see what's happening in places like suburbs of Atlanta and around this country. We talk about the school teacher in Texas that was said, you can't be seen praying anywhere. That's the madness. And we are here to stop it. So take a look at this and then we'll talk to you on the other side.
Jason, he is a passionate evangelist who works near an abortion clinic.
When the moms are coming in the driveway right here, we try to hand them information, which is a gospel tract and pregnancy info. So it has information for a pregnancy center where they can go and get free ultrasound, free pregnancy care, everything's free.
This is core to what the First Amendment is designed to protect, both his religious practice and his free speech. He wants to get out there and change hearts and minds.
Our pregnancy center in Atlanta, it actually helps the moms for 2 years. For 2 years, they can get free diapers, wipes, and clothes. So we are offering the tangible help, but we also want to offer them the spiritual help and through sharing the gospel with them.
Now, the City of Forest Park has instituted a permitting scheme. That's completely fine. They're allowed to do that. And Jason, in an effort to follow the law, got one of those permits. And those permits originally said he was allowed to use amplification at a particular place and at a particular time. And he always dutifully obeyed those limitations on his permit.
We were just out here preaching one day, like I've been doing for years. And all of a sudden, an officer came out and said, "We got a complaint, we need you to turn it down." And I said, "Well, multiple supervisors have been out here before, and they said my volume's fine."
The City of Forest Park, Georgia, essentially put a heckler's veto into the permit. Said, if anyone complains about this permit, it's revoked. Well, of course the abortion clinic complained. They tried to hold him criminally liable, and the ACLJ stepped in right away to make sure that that didn't happen.
They don't measure the sound out here. They don't use decibel readers. They don't measure the sound, none of that. It's just all revolves around a complaint.
It cannot be the case that speech which offends can be regulated and silenced more so than speech that is popular.
For 2 months, I had my sound permit revoked. I wasn't able to be heard out here. And as we know, when we went to court just recently, the charges were dismissed. So I feel like my free speech was violated.
But the city still insisted on putting this illegal and unconstitutional restriction on his sound permits. So we are taking this to a federal lawsuit this week. We are going to vindicate Jason's rights in federal court. We're going to do whatever it takes.
The process is the punishment. You know, we're going to charge you. We're going to cite you. We're going to drag you into court. And then, hey, we'll just dismiss the charges and, you know, just cause people a lot of time and a lot of money.
He has the right to speak out against abortion, and the ACLJ is going to stand with him to make sure that that message gets out.
Those of us who are street preachers, we want to come out and preach the gospel, preach the word of God. And we want to see God convict their hearts and change their hearts, change their lives. And we see children saved. You know, I see babies saved almost every week. As Christians, we've got to do what we're called to do. We're in a spiritual battle, and we need to be out here preaching the gospel and being a voice for the voiceless.
So once again, you see the hard work of the ACLJ getting that dismissed, but still fighting, because we can do multiple things here at the ACLJ. We can bring you this analysis and have our experts on and talk about the threat of things like sleeper cells in this country. But our attorneys are still fighting daily for individuals like our client there.
You gotta have voices.
And to showcase that even in areas where you would never think there are going to be constitutional violations trying to silence people expressing their faith and their First Amendment rights, that they're going to have things like a heckler's veto. But that's exactly what we're seeing.
Yeah, and this happens all over the country, not just in places that you'd expect. This is obviously in the state of Georgia. This is outside of Atlanta. This is happening in your streets. And look, if there's going to be, and this is just truth, if there's going to be what looks to be these attacks and sleeper cells in the streets, not just in America, but in the Western world, guess what we need more than ever? You need these street preachers who are out there doing good work. You need people who are out there promoting life, getting people to pro-life pregnancy resource centers to provide the needs that they need, whether that is, of course, you know, they do everything from prenatal to postnatal work. Some incredible organizations that are under attack right now as well, some from their own state, some from their own government. We want you to be a part of that ACLJ team. Look, the first half hour is coming to an end. It went by real fast. Second half hour is going to go by even faster because we got Mike Pompeo and Rick Grinnell joining us. If you want to be on the air, you got to call me now because we're not going to have time to take a ton of calls today. We got a packed back half of the broadcast. That's at 1-800-684-3110. But as we wrap up this first half hour, I'm going to ask you, we are halfway through the Stop the Madness week. Your donations are doubled right now. So as we head into break, and it's the shortest break of the show, by the time we say our last word on here, we have about 58 seconds until we are back on the air. I need you to go to aclj.org, scan the QR code that you see in front of you right now, because this week, and as we head to the end of the month, that's it. Your donations are doubled. We only can offer that a few times a year, where your donation is matched by another ACLJ donor who's willing to unlock their pledge. We have to be there for the gospel, for pro-life advocacy, for free speech, for religious liberty. Be a part of stopping the madness. Again, whether that's on the local level or what we see going on worldwide right now. Every tax-deductible gift throughout this week is doubled. dollar for dollar. Go to aclj.org right now, /madness, or just scan the QR code. Back in under a minute.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Second half hour of the broadcast today. We started the first half hour talking about the sleeper cell situation as they have been really unleashed across Europe, across the UK. And of course, we've seen attacks already happening in America. A lot of these organizations are shell groups that were created only in the last few weeks. We have Intel saying they never heard these names before until the last 4 weeks. This is what's happening. And they're doing that so you get a little distance. But we all know where the backing is coming from. We know where they exist. And it's all coming again digitally. It's coming from places like Telegram where, you know, they're able to communicate a lot easier. You know, we start thinking of the terrorist campaigns. We honestly even still go back to a September 11th world, a 2001 world where we still were on dial-up internet for the most part.
Right.
And you don't think about how far we have all progressed. These are not organizations operating out of caves. This is not Al-Qaeda. This is not the Taliban of the old. We are talking about sophisticated organizations that are able to, again, communicate and radicalize young adults throughout the world.
Well, and that's a very key distinction as well, Logan, is that they are not just a terror group. The IRGC, while they are an exporter of terror, and they use terrorism to intimidate and to kill and to wreak havoc around the world, they are a very wealthy, well-oiled machine within Iran.
Public government. They
control a lot of the business interests, and that's where a lot of the revenues and tax dollars in Iran, and sanctions relief, by the way, goes to the IRGC to fund these programs, as well as their militias, yeah, their special forces. This is not, as you said, a terror group that is loosely coddled together and in some desert and trying to figure out communications abroad. They're very sophisticated.
We only got a couple minutes, honestly, to take calls today. So I want to quickly go. Derek's calling ACLJ champion. Because you're a champion, you can bump to the front of the line. Derek, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
No problem.
So I just recently became a semi driver. These sleeper cells it's concerning to me. We've already had attack in Michigan. Dearborn, Michigan, I think, is becoming a serious problem. And the company is telling us employees that we are not allowed to carry a weapon. And my question to you is that a violation of the Second Amendment?
Well, first of all, Derek, a private company is not the government saying that you couldn't do it. So, yes, companies can have various regulations.
Look, in your line of work, we understand there's concern there. We understand also, Derek, that you're probably going to be confronted with this a lot more than other people are. So with that, we understand your concern. You know what I would do, Derek? And this is for anyone who needs potential legal help. And again, it probably with it being a private company, there's not much we could do, but at least could provide you with the information for your rights. Go to aclj.org/help. You're already a champion. You already know how to do that. But go to /help, fill out that simple form. At least we can provide you with some information you can have. I want to quickly get to Denise as well. Derek, thank you for being a champion, because Denise is probably gonna be our last call of the day because we have a packed back half of the show. Stay on hold. We'll do our best to get to some more, but Denise, go ahead.
Hi. I'm calling from Ohio, and the thing that is concerning me is nobody is going for the cyber attacks that Iran has been doing to screw up our the medical profession.
Yeah.
And our elections, possibly.
So, Denise, actually, and these are the type of things that don't make a ton of news, but the State Department actually has formally launched a new entity within the State Department called the Bureau of Emerging Threats. Their entire mission is to safeguard American interests in the realm of cyber attacks and to safeguard us against that. Yes, there have been some attacks that have happened that are traced back to Iran since the start of this conflict, but the government is on top of that. And the State Department under Marco Rubio is making sure that is a priority. And not just from Iran, China, Russia, North Korea, they all use cyber warfare to go after and try to weaken the United States and our allies. And the State Department is addressing that directly. So hopefully that gives you some peace of mind.
Yep, thank you, Denise, for calling. Look, if you're on hold right now, stay on hold. We'll see if we can get to you. You know, you never know, sometimes our guests fall out, stuff changes. So just stay on hold right now, or you can give us a call. But when we get back, we'll have Mike Pompeo followed by Rick Grinnell. So it's going to be a packed back half of the show. Some phone lines are open, but support the work of the ACLJ. Go on ACLJ.org during Stop the Madness Week. We'll be right back. We are in the middle of our Stop the Madness Week. Of course, you can be a part of the team at the ACLJ by donating at aclj.org and have your donation doubled during this week, matched dollar for dollar, your tax-deductible donation. I want you to be a part of it. We are now joined by Senior Counsel for Global Affairs and someone who I can't imagine having a better voice to talk about what's happening in Iran with, and that, of course, is former Secretary Mike Pompeo. Secretary Pompeo, there's a lot going on right now. The news, the CBS News, Wall Street Journal, many others have been reporting, and we've been talking about it today, that terrorist sleeper cells are being awoken throughout Europe, throughout the UK. We've seen this happen now. They're run by Iran, and they have to try to deflect blame by creating these sort of fictional groups, these organizations that are being run. A lot of them only popped up in the last few months, but we know where it's come from. As someone who, obviously, former CIA director, and you've been a part of this for a long time, how sophisticated are these threats? And we're seeing them start to bubble up more and more, even when they're not getting attention, if you really look at what's going on worldwide.
There's definitely a lot of risk associated with these folks. As you all know, we've talked about this for years, this risk of Hezbollah cells, Iranian cells, in the United States and in Europe, primarily. Look, the FBI does its best to protect here at home, but as we've all talked about so many times, we've had a wide open border for 4 years, giving them more space to move about the cabin here and create increased risk. Iran directs them, Iran underwrites them. Some of it's more inspired than owned by, but make no mistake about it, it doesn't surprise me that what has been reported in London, what we've seen in Europe over the last years, and now during this war, that the Iranians will pull every tool out of the kit bag. And one of those is to inflict harm in the homeland to the United States so that the United States will call off the dogs and President Trump would back away. I don't think that's going to happen, but we all need to be vigilant. And local law enforcement, our state officials, and our FBI, I know, are working this problem set very, very hard.
And Mr. Secretary, one of the more difficult problems when you are dealing with something like either inspired by or directly called for attack. This report about this this sleeper cell in Europe, so to speak, they're using what analysts are saying is a fake name, that they are more directly linked to the IRGC. But that's not the only way that they try to inspire and export terror. There's also the groups that get caught up in the messaging online and decide to take their own unilateral action. That's sometimes more hard to stop when knowing that. But based off what we've seen thus far, we've seen attempted attacks here that have been less than successful as the terrorists would want, which is miraculous in some degree. We did see the tragedy at Old Dominion University where the professor was killed by the terrorists before he was stopped. But we have not seen the type of mass scale attack as I would think the Iranians would want. Do you think our security services and the apparatus here in the United States is being vigilant and working as needed at a time like this?
I don't have any doubt that they are fully on point. Indeed, I am sure that before President Trump launched the attack into Iran alongside our Israeli partners, that the local law enforcement and the federal officials were working very hard to identify those that they suspected and is keeping an eye on them. So I don't think there's any doubt that there is a bunch of effort. It could well be that they have taken down plots that we're not even aware of that didn't become public. So yes, I think they're taking it with the level of seriousness that is required, but your point is very well taken. A structurally directed by Iran is much easier to identify and take down than someone who just reads about this or feels aggrieved in the way we've seen some of these terror attacks take place, not necessarily Iranian-backed, but Islamic political attacks inside of the United States for way before the war started, rather. That risk is real, and law enforcement has a very difficult time identifying these radicals and ferreting them out. They've done it before. I'm confident they're working hard to make sure that we're safe here at home.
And also, this ties in perfectly, is that just a few days before this report came out, you actually wrote a piece for ACLJ.org that people can go read. Yeah. That says the American people deserve leaders who fight terrorism, not excuse it. And we have seen how differently different administrations can handle that fight, whether it be a appeasing terrorist regimes or actually taking the fight directly to them. Is the difference here in the world that we are in, the way that this administration is taking the threat of terrorism seriously from a radical Islamic or foreign terror threat, as opposed to looking inward and thinking, the domestic terrorism that we saw for 4 years that was the only thing the FBI was looking at, does that show the seriousness of where we are now?
Undoubtedly. Like President Trump has, since the very beginning of his first administration, when ISIS was roaming free across Syria and causing problems here in the United States, while taking this enormously serious. President Biden, unfortunately, was right. They were adjacent to the Blame America First crowd and didn't want to offend somebody because of their religious faith. President Trump understands that the risk of radical Islam is real here inside the United States, and that terror begins abroad but can end up at home. So he has been determined and has put resources against this problem. So long as I worked with him for 4 years, and I'm very certain that there's a lot of folks working on this problem as we sit here today, trying to keep us safe while there's this heightened tension taking place in the Middle East.
Right. When there is this heightened tension and then there's talk of the potential conflict being resolved, you know, President Trump put out a statement saying, you know, they're having good talks, that we're going to have this sort of ceasefire, all of these things were going to happen. That opens up a lot of questions to what's actually going on behind the scenes, because it's seemingly we're in the middle of what feels like, you know, they're not using the words war, but a military, you know, moment that is that a lot of people have a lot of thoughts and feelings on. However, we haven't necessarily gotten to the point where regime change seems like an inevitability. I'd say during the protests and all that, it felt more like it when you had the people rising up. We've seen some of the pushback that has happened from the American people. And we've seen even Iranian state television saying, you know, that the plan isn't what it is, that's not going to go through. When you have President Trump making these statements, what are your thoughts as someone who's kind of been involved in working with this type of regime before, when it comes to what you consider quote unquote, you know, good conversations?
Yes, call me skeptical as for a deal with this regime. I've seen what our proposal reportedly was. I know what their public demands have been. They're not even close to each other. I don't say that there's any opportunity at this point for a solution on the terms that would make sense for the American people and keep us safe. And so while I think it is useful to continue to have conversations, I've not yet seen the two sides grow any closer than when Mr. Kushner and Mr. Witkoff were made clear that the Iranians wanted to hold on to their nuclear weapons. They wanted to saddle the Middle East, all of those things that make no sense to keep Americans safe. What I think President Trump is communicating is that I'm sure there are Iranian officials that are nervous, scared. They think everyone's a Mossad agent and are trying to reach out to the United States and say, no, I can be the guy that's going to lead this country in a better direction. And I'm sure the administration is trying to find that person or that group that can control the weapons, control the guns, control the missiles, bring down the tension, create an Iran that is normal. And we are searching to see if we can't find that person, somewhat in the same way we've done in Venezuela, that can actually be respected by the IRGC, their terror organization, and lead a political renaissance inside of Iran. They may well have found that person. I hope that they have, but I have not seen any evidence of that yet.
Just a final question for you here, because it kind of leads into that, where there are talks of this negotiation, potentially a summit of some sorts or talks in Pakistan. But what we saw yesterday, even as we continue, we still see people from the Obama era that still get TV time, even though many of their policies were disastrous for the country. But yesterday, we talked extensively on the show about the former CIA director, John Brennan, said on MS Now that he trusts the Iranians more than the president of the United States.
They'll be more truthful.
And just what kind of messaging is that coming from someone who's held a position that you have held, have a similar former title? I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you thought about that.
That's outrageous to make such a statement, to trust the Iranians at any level more than anyone else. I mean, these are some of the least trustworthy human beings. They lie, they cheat, they engage in murders against not only the Gulf Arab states and going after Americans, but their own people, killing 30,000 of them. For a former American senior official like Director Brennan to say that he trusts the Iranians at all is simply, well, I'll be careful, but it is both ridiculous and outrageous. And frankly, it breaks my heart to see a former American official make a statement like that who once represented the greatest nation in the history of civilization.
Again, it's issues where it only comes down to if it's talking about President Trump, and that becomes a whole can of worms. Look, like we said, we understand when you're talking about your political rivals, you call them liars. It's just become the natural thing in America. Whether that's good or bad, I think is a different conversation to have. We're used to that. What we're not used to saying is, this guy's a liar, but those Iranians, I trust them more. Look, when we get back, we're going to have a whole nother conversation now with Rick Grenell joining us. Thank you, Secretary Pompeo. We always appreciate your guidance and your thoughts. Again, Senior Counsel for Global Affairs here at the ACLJ, because people like you support the work. We couldn't have the best of the best, these incredible voices that could come on and discuss without you. So I want you today, make a decision to become an ACLJ champion if you can even. That is someone who gives on a monthly recurring basis. Do it today. That's at ACLJ.org. If you become a champion even, your first donation is still matched and doubled. So do it at ACLJ.org today. Again, protecting the gospel, protecting free speech, protecting our Jewish brothers and sisters in Israel and around the world. Of course, here and in the homeland as well. Go to ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secular. Last segment of the day. I want to appreciate and thank everyone who's called in. We know we only were able to take your calls in those first few segments because we've just had a packed show today. Of course, it is halfway through our Stop the Madness week. If you want to be a part of the ACLJ team, it's a great time to do it. As we've been discussing worldwide, everything that's going on, and of course, within our country as well. Go to ACLJ.org, have your donation doubled. Rick Grenell's joining us right now. And Will, we have been really diving in a lot on what's happening with Iran and some of the sleeper cell situations. I know you wanted to bring up that as well as the negotiations that may still be ongoing.
That's right. And Rick, as Logan mentioned, we're doing something this week called Stop the Madness. It's a fun tie-in to this time of year. But what we keep seeing as we dig through, we're finding more and more terrible takes from the deep state, as it seems to be. Yesterday, we talked a lot about John Brennan, the former CIA director, telling Simone Sanders that he tends to believe Iran more than he does Donald Trump, which was fascinating to hear. But then we saw your best friend, Jake Sullivan, on with Jon Stewart, where he was trying to argue that we shouldn't even be in this conflict because really it was just the American negotiators, they just weren't able to really understand what the Iranians were offering. Like, basically, we could have avoided this whole thing. They were all in agreement. They're really trustworthy. He's the guy who's been duped by every adversary for more than a decade. But Rick, I want to get your take on that.
Look, Jake Sullivan is an academic. He loves to be able to write papers about what should happen. He theorizes of this is what the other side is going to do and this is how we should react. Jake Sullivan has been always terrible at the real-time crises and national security issues that come across his desk. We've seen that. He is the author of the idea that we could talk the Iranians out of a nuclear weapon. Meanwhile, the Iranian regime has lied about the number of centrifuges, the percentage of enrichment, the heavy water amount that they have been using. All of these issues point to the Iranians lying in order to get a nuclear weapon. You don't need to enrich uranium inside the country. You can get it from outside, but they've insisted on enriching their own uranium. Then we caught them with other levels that they didn't agree to. Jake Sullivan didn't have this in his white paper. He didn't understand that the other side is not always telling the truth. He's very naive, very academic. He is also the author of giving the Iranian regime billions of dollars in money, sanctions relief, and credit. And they've used all of that money to wreak havoc across the Middle East with all of their proxies, including funding October 7th. And so Jake Sullivan has been so bad at real-time national security that we should just shove him into an academic institution and let him theorize for the rest of his life.
Well, Rick, you bring up October 7th. I think we should play this flashback. This is from 8 days before the October 7th attack that was, we now know, conducted by Hamas, but orchestrated and led by the Iranians. This is Byte 11 from September 29th, 2023.
What we said is we want to depressurize, de-escalate, and ultimately integrate the Middle East region. The war in Yemen is in its 19-month of truce. For now, the Iranian attacks against U.S. forces have stopped. Our presence in Iraq is stable. I emphasize for now because all of that can change. And the Middle East region is quieter today than it has been in two decades.
8 days after that, one of the largest massacres of Jews and Israelis since the Holocaust. And he was saying it's quieter than it's been in two decades. Why is anyone giving him airtime to theorize still about what's going on in Iran right now? He can't predict anything of substance.
Well, let's remember he was on a comedy show. So it does make sense that he and his views were taken with a sense of comedic value.
That's fair.
What I think that is really important to note, when Jake Sullivan is talking about everything being calm 8 days before October 7th, remember this. If he was really watching the intelligence, deeply watching the intelligence, not just a summary of what he would get from his briefer, but if you were really taking the time to dig into the classified information, you would have seen elements of what was happening so that you wouldn't say everything is calm. Because now we absolutely do know that our intelligence was pointing to some issues going on in the lead up to October 7th. We just didn't have the exact moment and we didn't know the breadth of what was happening. Rick, but make no mistake, U.S. intelligence and Israeli intelligence had pieces of this. And so for the National Security Advisor sitting at the White House to say everything is calm just shows his academic strategy towards national security, where he looks at a summary and looks at things on paper and doesn't actually understand the reality on the ground.
Yeah, Rick, I mean, you bring that up and you brought up a little bit earlier sort of the naivety of this situation. I feel like we're experiencing that oddly throughout the country, where if someone goes on a podcast or they go on a television show, you feel like more than ever, you'd be questioning, you'd be looking deeper into the beliefs, the structures, who's running things, where the money is coming, all those things that we've kind of been taught over the last few years and really been exposing the last few years of what's happening. But now it feels like if it fits some sort of narrative, whether that's on the right or the left, they take it with sort of blind acceptance that, yes, of course, this person is to be trusted, and that because they push my narrative, and that is what is 100% there. And that's just never what we've been doing here.
No, I think it's what you're really getting at is that you have to take the time and test the premise. You have to dig into the information. Don't just accept what people are saying. I think as consumers of news, we all have that responsibility. Don't just believe everything that you read or hear. Get multiple news sources. Dig into it a little. You have a responsibility as a consumer, as an American, as a voter, to do some of the work and not just be so lazy where you just take someone else's opinion and use it as your own.
Absolutely. Rick, thank you so much for joining us today. Look, it was a very packed show. It's a Wednesday. Sometimes these shows, we're able to pack it with great guests. And of course, people who have been members of the SACLJ team for years and years, which is always great. And that includes, of course, Rick Grinnell, who's been an incredible contributor here on the broadcast for the last number of years. And again, none of this happens without you. And we are Wednesday. We are halfway through our Stop the Madness week. And for the next minute, before we wrap up this show, I just want to encourage you, if you like what we do here, if you've been a supporter for a long time, it's a great time to give financially. If you're brand new, I'm not going to ask you to do that. I'm going to ask you to just subscribe on the platform that you're on right now. So if that's on YouTube, do that. If it's on Rumble, do that. If it's on Facebook or X, maybe you're on ACLJ.org, sign up for the email list. Do whatever you can. Take that at least first free step. Because nothing we have is behind a paywall, but that's only because the incredible supporters of this show and this organization donate. And during special months like this, when wars are raging across the world, and whether that is the physical world, spiritual world, whatever it may be, I am happy that there are so many of you that support our work so we can keep fighting the good fight. Go to aclj.org/madness right now. Scan the QR code if you got it. We'll talk to you tomorrow.